Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is Emily.
Hello.
We are on the fourth issue of this Paper Girl story arc. So if you'd like to listen to our previous coverage, go check out our last three issues or last three episodes. So let's hop into this one. We start out with this apple. And as it pans out, it turns out that this apple is actually a phone and it has an eye on it, sort of like an iPhone.
Yes.
And this guy answers it, and the phone is like the more old timey, 1960? No,
it's
1800s, early 1900s phone.
It's the actual handle that you could put your hand around that hangs on a hook.
Yeah.
On the phone.
I was just referring more to the design itself. Like it's one of the old.
Right.
Old.
Your daughter's a little older than my daughter, but when my kid was little and we would play telephone, when we were kids,
do the pinky and the thumb.
The pinky and the thumb out, and we put the thumb up to our ear and the pinky down to our mouth, and that's how we mime talking on the phone.
Yep.
When my kid, who is 9, does it, she holds her
Does
hand,
she really?
She cups her hand just like you would hold your cell phone up to your ear. And that's how she pretends to play phone. I'm like, wow.
Whoa.
That's a difference.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
I'm
not mad about it.
Yeah,
it was one of those things where I was like, why are you holding your hand that way? And she's probably thinking, God, Mom, why are you holding your hand that way? But I get it.
I didn't know she did that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I feel old now.
Yeah, we are old.
Well, we are. Not as old as this guy, though. The guy that answered the phone. He's got, all white hair, nice white beard. He's got I don't know what you would call that design on his forehead.
But he's wearing a Public Enemy shirt.
He is wearing a Public Enemy shirt. We have another individual, this lady, in an armored suit as well, with a light staff, and speaking the same language that this other guy is speaking, this other individual, whose name was Alistair. I pretty much figured that she says that Alistair's been unmoored, which, I can pretty much figure out that means he's dead.
Yeah. Well, he's at least been inconveniently disincorporated.
You have a more elegant way of saying it than I do. But she's talking to what is considered, what, grandfather?
She calls... Yeah. Yes. Because she identifies herself as Cardinal.
Yes. So we now have a name, which is nice. But she's talking to the old man, grandfather, and basically saying that Alistair died and whoever took him out has not stayed. They've moved on.
And they've taken stragglers with them.
Okay. Because I was assuming she was probably thinking that the girls were the ones that killed.
No, they're assuming ghost ninjas. Ghost ninja teenagers.
Mummy ninjas?
Mummy ninja.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because listen, she goes, Alistair's been unmoored, and Demaster's what did him have ghosted? Batter, they may tooken stragglers. So, going back to last episode's conversation about the Langoliers, these people are trying to, suck up people for some reason, right? They're disappearing people.
Yeah.
So, the stragglers are referring to people, local people from this time who have not been sucked up yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can.
Yeah, she's
gotcha.
She's under the assumption that the teenagers have done this.
Okay. All right. Cool. Grandfather is not happy about this, so he decides to call down what he calls an editrix.
Yeah, it would be like the feminine version of editor. In Latin, it'd be, you have editor and editrix. Editor being masculine, editrix being female.
Oh, okay.
Gladiator.
Yeah.
Gladiatrix.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Didn't know that. I really should have paid more attention in Latin class.
Yes, you should have.
Yeah. Oh, well. But he also says that because Cardinal's like, are you sure about this? Are you?
Are ye paused?
Yeah, and he's like, you know, quiet, can't risk another sea day. Now, this is our first indication of what the hell sea day.
I was about to say this is where things get weird, but nah, it's already been weird, and it's only gonna get weirder.
It gets a lot weirder.
Buckle up,
wait till volume two. So they decide to call in this Editrix, and they're gonna start searching for the mummy ninjas, mm-hmm. mummy ninja teenagers, and the stragglers. Turns out that they decided to hop into the sewer and go that route. So the Eric Stoltz looking guy, I know you still don't get that reference. He's carrying Aaron, and the other guy is basically talking because he's got the translator, and the girls are following because, you know, they want to help their friend that they just met today. KJ is like, all right, good. We're not going to go through any more of this diarrhea until you tell us what is going on, who you are, and where you're taking Aaron. So, the one with the translator, he says his name is Heck, and that his mate, the one holding Aaron, is called Naldo. Right? Naldo?
Yeah.
Waldo? Naldo?
I said Naldo.
Naldo sounds better. Yeah. I had to think about that one. And he's like, the sooner you quit waving that thing at us, the sooner we'll be able to get your friend to a device that can heal her. And he goes on to say that the old timer that was there before, he wasn't going to help you. He executed that evil son of a bitch because he murdered my boyfriend. And the girls are just like, wait, what? Like, it's 1988. They don't understand.
Well, and Heck even says, don't worry about it. You guys are from an effed up time.
Yeah. That's when KJ was like, oh, so Aaron was right? You guys are, like, time travelers? And Heck is just like, you know, well, travelers makes us sound like tourists. But that's, you know, that's close enough to what we are. I think Mac was just like, if you guys are time, quote-unquote time travelers, why don't you go back and save your friend? And Heck says, you know, that's not how that works. Your ending is your ending no matter what. Like, you can't change it. You cannot change your fate. That's what, although Brave taught us we could change your fate. Sorry. And Tiffany asks, what year are they from? And he says 13.
They're like, that doesn't, what do you mean, what is 13? They're like, oh yeah, we kind of rolled back the odometer after Calamity ended all the... And then
Aaron's like,
papers. It's like Rosebud at the end of Citizen Kane.
There we go. Wow, that got away from me. So you can probably piece together that Calamity would be C-Day.
Mm-hmm. Still don't know what it is.
Yeah, no idea. Max says that, yeah, we brought your papers. Calm down, new kid. But before she can finish really talking, we hear this. And Naldo starts speaking, and Heck says, you know, no way they followed us, we're dirty, and the chicks somehow escaped the wash. Who knows what that means. But he is still confused because they heard the sound. And KJ asks what that was, what's trying to find us? And Heck says, it's an Editrix. It won't translate, but it's a... Poincaré?
I read it as Poincaré construct.
Okay. And I think he was about to say that can track things.
Yeah.
But he stops himself. He's like, no, the translator. They've been tracking us through the translator. So he breaks it. And so now we have no idea what they're saying anymore. Yeah. But then we get a beautiful splash page. Well, one page of this, what we can assume is the Editrix, which looks like a beholder, which
very
is,
much.
You know. It's literally just a circle with arms extended and eyeballs.
Yes.
Eyeballs
that shoot lasers.
Yeah. One basically nicks Heck around the shoulder and knocks him down. The girls are trying to run away, but Tiffany gets caught by one of the arm tendrils. And then we get, about 6 splash pages of her life?
Yeah. One, two, three, four.
Okay.
Yeah. Of just 9 panels of Tiffany playing, what is that? Pong.
Well, no, it's like
she
brick. It's like a brick.
She names it
brick
later.
Breaker or something like that.
Yeah, she names it later.
But it, you see her, like, she got it on Nintendo for a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And she just go, you see her going through, like, all of the seasons, all of the holidays, and just playing the game nonstop. Rain, shine, when she's not in school, even when she's eating, she's thinking about that game.
Yeah.
She's just obsessed with that game. She gets to what looks to be, like, round 35, got super excited, and gets back down to round 1, and it just starts all over again. And she basically watches her life flash before her eyes.
Did you know she's eating a Hot Pocket?
I did see that. I'm not going to do the Jim Gaffigan. Huh?
I did it.
He does Diarrhea Pocket. Now you made me
do
it. KJ goes and ultimately just tackles Tiffany, which rips off the tendril from the Editrix. And that was probably the best thing, because it is in a ton of pain. Then Naldo grabs the gun and shoots it and kills it. Tiffany is now kind of in shock. Like, she said that when that thing touched me, her life flashed before her eyes, and she said it was hell, because all she did was just sit there and play that video game.
And how did that make you feel, Joe?
I know when to turn her game off.
Okay.
Now, if we talk about, like, recording a podcast, and that's become my life now.
And how did that make you feel?
Stop that. But, you know, she basically realized how much she wasted. You know, she, in the last, because we don't have an actual date, so we can assume maybe a year and a half.
It went through
at least one birthday and holidays.
Yeah.
So we can at least think maybe
least
a year.
Year.
So she wasted her last year.
A year to a 12-year-old is forever.
Yeah.
That's forever.
It really is. A year to us 36-year-olds, not so much.
No. Yeah. No. Well, yeah.
Not so much.
No.
This year's flown by already.
And yet, at the same time, 6 months feels like 87 years.
It does.
It's so weird.
Yeah. So they get out of the sewers finally, and I like how Mac immediately, as soon as she gets out, lights up a cigarette.
Well, and she's like, or KJ goes, "Is that really such a good idea right now?" And Mac's like, "I'm sorry, did you not experience what we just experienced?" And KJ goes, "Fair," but she's still like, "It's stinky."
Yeah, Tiffany is still kind of just hung up on. Well, she's like, why didn't I stop when I was stuck on level 28? Still hung up on her.
She's having
life.
An existential breakdown.
Well, and to be fair, they're all kind of almost at that breaking point. Because they're 12 years old.
Right.
Like,
and I don't think they've slept. Also,
no.
Day ever come?
Because it's still been like within... So they got up at, what, 4:40?
Yeah.
4:30 to start doing their stuff. This has only been like 2 hours.
Exactly.
It's like, only been like 6 o'clock.
The day just never came.
Right? So there's still kind of a perpetual night, maybe. Again, it is November. The sun won't really rise. I mean, heck, we're in September right now.
Yeah.
I think it'll be October when you guys listen to this. But like, the sun doesn't rise for us till what, 7?
Yeah.
So, and it's only going to get later from this point.
I know.
So they're following the, Heck and Naldo, and Mac doesn't really know why. It's like, why are we following these guys? Why don't we just go home? KJ is just like, you know, if you don't want to, fine. You don't have to, but they saved our lives. So if they can save Aaron's life too, we're going to follow. And then they come up to that capsule, that time travel capsule that Aaron called it.
Right.
It looks very similar to the one that was they found in the basement. And we see Heck go up to one side of it and put his arm through it, through one of the...
He fists it.
Of being more subtle, but okay. Ultimately opens up a door, and we see the inside is more not fleshy, but more
it's flesh-like.
Lively.
It's flesh-like.
Okay. And they bring Aaron in, put her strapper into one of the seats, and then Heck and Naldo walk in, and I think the girls were getting ready to go in after him, but Heck kind of stops them. Is like, and ultimately, there really was only three seats. So, as they are just standing outside waiting, the ship not dematerializes, but
goopifies.
That works.
Yeah,
goopifies works into the air, and now it's gone. And Tiffany's just like, did they? I think she's gonna say leave. And Mac is like, those lion assholes bailed on us. They kidnapped Aaron. And Cage is like, oh, fuck. I fucked up. you know, and then, you know, now they're alone. And as we end the issue, this final page is Cardinal riding one of the pterodactyl thingies with a couple other ones, a couple other people around. But they see the open space, and they see the girls, and they're getting ready to attack. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Paper Girls story.